morning will be taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Again, that is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. I ask you to follow along as I read from the New King James Version. Now it happened, as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her."
Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're happy that you're here. You're our honored guest. We pray and hope that you will return at any opportunity you may have. Water spattered over the mouth of her water jug as Martha hurried down the path. The good news she carried made the road seem longer than usual. At last, she saw the house she shared with her sister and brother rise in the distance. "Mary! Mary!" Martha called to her sister between gasps while still out of hearing range. Flushed and out of breath from rushing home, she could not speak again as she drew closer. Excitement propelled her quickly to the door and she burst into the house. Startled by her sister's hasty entrance, Mary dropped the bowl. The dish shattered, sending shards of jagged, broken pottery shooting across the floor. Martha and exasperated Mary began to scold, but she stopped abruptly when she saw Martha's face. "What is it?" Mary asked. Rushing to her sister's side, she could read the excitement on Martha's face and feared that something could be wrong. "What's happened?" An alarmed Mary asked expectantly, taking Martha's hands. After a few anxious moments, a span of eternity, Martha caught her breath and announced, "Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming." Mary's worry turned to joy, and she squealed with delight. "He'll be here soon," Martha continued earnestly. "We have much to do to prepare for his arrival." And with that statement, her countenance changed. Already, her eagerness to see Jesus was giving way to anxiety at having company on such short notice. She pursed her lips as she considered what she needed to do first, and with her mind swimming with the litany of tasks to be done, Martha darted out the door again. "There's much to do indeed," Mary agreed, but Martha was already gone. Mary stared for a moment at the spot where Martha had stood just seconds before, then reached for the broom and began sweeping up the pieces of pottery that littered the floor. "Jesus is coming," she thought to herself. She smiled happily as her anticipation of his visit grew. What a special day this is. What a privilege it will be for Martha and me to sit at his feet and hear his godly message. We will be so much richer for our time spent with him. What spiritual lessons will we learn from him today, I wonder? And putting the broom aside, Mary got to work on more pressing tasks at hand. Jesus could arrive any minute, and she wanted to be prepared to make the most of their visit with him. Mary had so many questions for the teacher. She hoped she would have enough time to organize her thoughts before his arrival. As she reflected on the scriptures, her mind drifted momentarily to Martha. "Where is she?" Mary thought. "We have so much to do." Mary hoped she was bringing to mind their past religious discussions and the theological debates they had overheard in the temple. No doubt Jesus would be able to feed their spirits with his words of wisdom. Kneeling to pray for their visit with Jesus, she hardly noticed Martha breeze through the room. After several minutes, a knock at the door brought Mary swiftly to her feet. "Martha," she cried, "Martha, Jesus is here. Jesus is here." Maybe that'll give us a picture of what may have taken place on that day that Jesus came to town. He came to the house of Martha and Mary. Nate led for us a moment ago, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now, I'd like for us to take our time this morning and study this particular passage and see what it was that Jesus saw and Martha. And maybe, just maybe, we can learn a few lessons from Martha here, as well as from Mary. When others look at us, examine our actions, they see some things, but not deep down inside. When we look at ourselves, we see good things along with not so good that others can't. However, friends, when Jesus looks at us, He sees what really lies beneath. John tells us as much in John 2, verse 25. The end of that verse says that He knew what was in man. And here on this occasion, Jesus, in visiting with Martha and Mary, visiting there in Bethany, He brought His disciples along with Him, and Martha welcomed them to her house. What did Jesus see in Martha when He went into that house? When He was received by Martha there, He saw respect for Him, no doubt. She was going about preparing, wanting to serve Him as she was wont. She was humble. She must have been respected. John 11 and verse 31, people thought highly of her. It was expensive for them. It must have been, knowing that Jesus was coming, but not just Him, but His disciples as well. How is she going to feed all of these people? No doubt it was dangerous, because here it was nearing the end and many had already began to reject Him. And yet Jesus saw something else in Martha that we may overlook had we been there, may have overlooked had we been there. First of all, notice again verse 40. As Jesus had come into the house, notice what is recorded here. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Friends, first of all, what did Jesus see in Martha? Number one, He saw worry. She was doing her job. She was managing the household. She was looking after things. And it wasn't her service that Jesus rebuked, but how she let that work distract her. If Jesus, His disciples, came to our house, wouldn't we do our best to make everything right? Make sure that everything was in its place? Make sure that everything was cleaned up and we were ready for Him? Of course we would. That's not what Jesus rebuked. Jesus rebuked her distraction. Her trying and striving so hard to make things just right, she allowed that to get between her and Jesus. She was drawn about. She was distracted from what? She was distracted from the teaching of Christ. Notice where Mary was, verse 39. She was sitting at His feet, hearing the words of life. You know, sometimes, friends, sometimes we worry about the least important things. Sometimes we worry about, rather than welcoming someone in with open arms, sometimes we resent a visit because our house isn't just so. Friends, we need to remember that nothing is to come between Christ and our Lord. Between us and our Lord, rather. Sometimes those serious problems, family, food, cause us to worry. But friends, are they more important than our souls? I'd like to challenge you, when you get home today, I want you to take two sheets of paper. On one, you write down everything that you can control. And on the other, you write down everything that you cannot control. Here's what you do. You take this one that you got everything written down that you cannot control, you wad it up and you throw it in the trash. And you keep the one that you can control. These things over here, friends, they're not worth worrying about. Work on the things we can change. Forget the rest. Robert Frost said the reason worry kills more people than work is that more people worry than work. Here we have Martha. She was anxious. She was focusing, in a manner of speaking, on that second sheet. She was focusing on temporary things, on physical bread rather than spiritual. Jesus said something more important. The bread of life. He was breaking unto them the bread of life. He didn't want a four-course meal. He wanted to teach. Mindful of the time that Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman. Luke 4. Sitting there at the well, the disciples had gone to find him something to eat. When they returned, he told them what? He had been hungry before that point, if you remember. But he said, I have meat which you know not of. He would rather teach than eat. Friends, think about that. Here he was in the house of Martha, wanting to teach, and all she could do was cook. Rather than sitting at his feet, hearing the words of life. Didn't Jesus use that point against Satan, Matthew 4, verse 4? Jesus had been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. And so Satan tempted him, wouldn't you be hungry? 40 days, 40 nights? So Satan said, you turn the stone to bread. You'll have something to eat then. You go right ahead. What was Jesus' response? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Friends, how worried are we about physical things against spiritual? Do you know that worry chokes God's word? Matthew 13, 32 in the parable of the sower. Worry chokes the word of God out of us. Soldiers don't take up civilian pursuits. We trust God to take care of those things. Friends, we ought not let worry distract us from our Lord and our Savior, from sitting at His feet. Ashley and I just attended a lectureship. And one thing that I noticed there is that as I went into the annex where they had some books and things to look at, and I noticed that there were several people that stayed in there when the next lecture began to start, making things ready for after that particular lecture for other people to come in and to have refreshments that they had in that building as well and to see these books. And I began to wonder. Nothing wrong with making things ready. Nothing wrong with being sure all things are prepared. But friends, why would we choose to do that when I can take just a few minutes after the lesson that's about to come up? Why would I choose to remain in there and miss a portion of God's Word than to sit at the feet of God as His Word is being broken and spoken unto me? Sometimes we become so involved with making sure we've got a potluck coming and we're going to have guests, and so rather than coming to Bible class, I'll just stay back here and I'll make sure things are ready. Where's our priority? We've got vacation Bible school coming, and you know, I've got a lot of work to do on my classroom, so rather than going to Bible class on Wednesday night, you know, I'll just stay back here in the workroom and I'll get things done. So that my vacation Bible school room can be ready. What are we worried about? Why would we miss an opportunity to learn of God's Word? It's a question maybe that we'd like to ask Martha one day. But we notice as well that Martha was not only worried, she resented Mary. Again, notice the end of verse 40. She came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Friends, Jesus comes. Perhaps unexpected. Food, cooking, drinks need to be poured. Dining rooms need to be set. And there's Mary in the den just sitting with the guests. I have to do everything around here. She does nothing, Martha said. She should have commended her, but instead she criticized. We all have different personalities, quirks. But here is Martha resenting Mary for choosing the right part, which could not be taken from her, Jesus says. Think about this. Just an illustration for us. The senator is late for his train. He jumped on the wrong car. And this particular car, is one full of mental hospital inmates in mental hospital clothes. The orderly comes out, counts 1, 2, 3, 4, and he comes to this man in a suit. "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm a senator from New York." The orderly says, "Yeah, and I'm King of England, 5, 6, 7, 8. Friends, we have different abilities, but the same Spirit. We think about the miraculous gifts in 1 Corinthians that Paul wrote about. The Corinthians had those gifts to promote unity, not division, not resentment. Be careful not to think more highly. Martha was like those with the gifts of tongues. They felt because they could speak a different language without ever having studied it, that their gift was more important than others. Paul said otherwise. She felt that what Martha did, what I do is more important. Friends, Jesus was there to teach them both. We have the same source, therefore the same purpose. Paul pointed that out in 1 Corinthians 12. We have different ways to serve. Different services are to build up one another. Everyone can't be an elder. Not everyone's qualified. Not everyone can be a preacher. Not everyone can be a teacher. Not everyone has the same abilities. There are different ways to serve the Lord, but friends, remember, it's the same Lord. Thus, we are to be unified. We have different results, but the same God. Notice with me 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 6. "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." Notice this passage. As we look at 1 Corinthians 12, and we were to read from beginning in chapter, in verse 1 rather, go down to verse 4. "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations," verse 5, "but the same Lord." Notice this passage. Spirit, Lord, referring to Jesus, God. What do we see? They all are unified. "When a brother or sister does well, do I compliment or do I complain? Am I jealous? Do you resent your brother? Resent your spouse?" John 13:34, Ephesians 5:25 and 33. Friends, if I have resentment in my heart, then I resent God who gave abilities or workings. And so thus, as Martha resented her sister, she resented her master. Notice what she says to Jesus. Did she forget to whom she was speaking? "Dost thou not care?" She stopped, she walked up to the Lord, and she told Him to tell Mary to help. Didn't go to Mary first. Nor did she sit at Jesus' feet, but stood before Him. Martha tried to be the judge in the matter, James 4:11 and 12. She said, "Jesus, what You're allowing isn't good enough for me." Friends, when we look at the law of Jesus, His law is a law of love. Love one another. Martha didn't do that. When I resent my brother, I'm not performing the law of love. And thus I resent my master. Then number 3. Notice again verses 41 and 42. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Another problem, or another thing that Jesus noticed or saw in Martha, was absence. The husband loves his wife. He loves his children. He works hard for them. He leaves early. He comes home late. And one day he comes home to a wife he didn't know. And his children were grown and gone. Sometimes we're so busy working for Jesus, we forget to spend time with Him. The most important trait of a Christian, the most important trait that a Christian can have, friends, is to sit at the Master's feet. The ones who please God the most are the ones who take in the most. We must have active love as the Good Samaritan, but first a receptive love. Why? For God is love. Friends, we sow our love for Jesus when we serve Him, but also when we let Him serve us, when He teaches us. Jesus was in this woman's house, friends, but she wasn't present. She wasn't there. You know, it was a rare treat for the Master to visit. Could have been 10 feet away, but she was not with Him. We can be in His house, friends, and not be present. We may be sitting here in worship this morning and not really be present because our minds are elsewhere. Jesus is telling us here that there is wisdom in letting the dishes soak in the sink so that we can enjoy fellowship with friends, family, and the Father. Mary was present. Notice that she sat at His feet, literally beside His feet, paying close attention. A humble disciple. She heard His word. She wasn't listening to others. She didn't strike up a conversation with Peter. She didn't go and talk to John. She sat at the Master's feet to hear what He had to say. And she didn't pay any attention to Martha because she wanted the words of life. Put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, when we consider what Jesus saw in Martha, let's ask ourselves the question, what does Jesus see in me? Am I one that wants to be at Bible class so I can learn more about His Word? Maybe ask some questions about something that I don't understand. Or am I as Martha and too worried about things that need to be done, that need to be prepared, rather than taking a few minutes after I've sat down with the Lord and being sure those things are done? Friends, we need to have the hands of Martha. We need to be busy, but we need to have the heart of Mary. Jesus said one thing is needful. What? What's needful? In Psalm 27 and verse 4, we read what the psalmist wrote there. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Friend, have you done as Mary and chosen the good part? Choose life. If you're here this morning and have never become a Christian, have never put Christ on in baptism, choose life, friend, to become a Christian. Choose to sit at the feet of Jesus, to study His Word daily. Friends, if you're here and you're not a Christian, why not this morning? Why don't obey His Word? Would you repent of sin? Would you confess Him before men? Would you be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins? Would you do that this morning? Friend, are you here having done that? Have you fallen away? Would you be His again? It may be that you've left His presence, you're absent, no longer walking in His steps. Friends, come and sit at the master's feet. Hear his word. Obey his voice. Would you come now while we stand and while we sing?